So there are really only two numbers that I believe that need to be tracked for Christians who are wanting to have a thriving financial life that honors God. And today we are going to discuss the first one and why I believe every Christian should know what this number is and how you can do it in less than 10 minutes. And so if you want to be debt-free this year, if you want to make this year the year that you start making massive forward progress financially, if you want to have the money available to do all the things, all the dreams that God has put on your heart, well, for the rest of this year, we are running a 40-week series where we share our 40-week checklist to eliminate debt, build wealth, and really to give $1 million. This is what we would do if we're starting over trying to reach that goal again. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully you find this interesting. Hopefully this helps you on your journey. And so each week we are sharing specific action steps that we took to go from that point that we already mentioned to reaching our biggest financial goals so far as we are on our journey. And each week you are going to have a specific step that you can take to reach your goals, whatever they are, way faster than you thought. Mm-hmm. And so today we are talking about one of the most important numbers that you should be tracking if you are not already. Okay. And this is what we call assets under management, or AUM, for short.
And you really consider this to be the second most important number.
Yes, we will get to the first.
We'll get to the first.
We're going to start with the second most
important
one.
That's just a little cliffhanger for you.
There's
to come
back. Yeah, so there is a number that we think is even more important to track than this one. But this one, I believe, is really, really important, and you should be tracking it. I believe if you really want to be the best possible steward and manager of what God has entrusted to you.
Yeah.
So, assets under management. You might have heard this term. If you work in the financial industry, you know this term, and you're probably wondering, like, what is he talking about?
Why are we talking about this? Yeah.
And if you've heard, like, so normally what you have financial advisors and money managers, and they will talk about their assets under management. And what that means is, how much money are they managing? How many clients do they have? And how much of their clients' money are they responsible for managing? Mm-hmm. And so they'll go brag to their buddies, you know, yeah, I just hit $100 million AUM, you know, because I have all these clients and all of their assets that I'm managing, it's $100 million or whatever. And so this is a little bit different, the way that we're approaching this, because this number that we're talking about is normally referred to as your net worth, okay? So what has been your perception of net worth?
Well, my first thought about a net worth is that it's something that I don't have, because that's just something rich people have.
Yeah.
Like, as I was growing up, I was like, oh, I don't have one. Like,
but that's the thing. Everyone has one. You have one, whether you have calculated it or not. It's just a matter of whether you know what it is.
That was an education for me, for sure.
Yeah. That is funny, because you, that whole time, you thought you didn't have one, but you actually did have one. You just didn't know what it was. So, but then, you know, when we first got married, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, please, you.
So when we first got married, we decided we're going to calculate our net worth. And so we did that because I had heard from so many of the financial experts, this is a great thing to do, to just know what your number is. And anyway, so we did that, and we started doing that a couple years. And then as we were doing this, like, as a Christian, I really started to feel weird about the term net worth. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and part of it was seeing how people were using it, the context with which they were saying.
Because it really is usually used with a lot of rich people. Where it's like, oh, this guy's worth this much money.
Well,
this
many billions, or whatever. Like, taking off the net and even saying he's worth that amount feels real, real weird to me.
Well, it's unscriptural.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But one of the things that, there are two big things that I think we came in across where we realize this just doesn't feel right, and I'd love to change this term. And so I like the exercise, but I want to rebrand it. If we're going to be talking about this, if this is something that we're going to be doing in our financial life, I want to change this. And so we decided we're not going to call it our net worth anymore, but we're going to call it our assets under management. And the reason why is because it makes so much more sense. When we understand that we are stewards, we are managers of all of the assets that the Lord has trusted into us. Psalm 24:1, like, everything is the Lord's. The earth and everything in it.
The earth and everything
is His.
Yeah.
Okay? So we are just managers temporarily managing these things for Him. So the cars we have, the children who He's blessed us with, the money in our account, like, any number of things, our actual skills and gifts and talents that He's given us, like, all of this is stuff that we are have the opportunity to manage for His glory and for His purposes. And so We just decided, I just think this makes so much more sense to call this assets under management instead of calling it our net worth. You know, so that was like the first thing.
Yeah. I mean, it is very insulting to put a number on a person, because the truth is everybody has a net worth. And when we first calculated ours, it was negative.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. It'll give you more of those details. But that was the second thing, really, was just that we were kind of offended by this idea of labeling ourselves by this number.
So does that mean that we're worth nothing? That's not what the Bible says.
Negative. Are we worth negative?
We're in debt.
Yeah.
But, I mean, does that... I don't know. It just doesn't sit right with me that we would label ourselves that, or we would label anyone else that way, when Jesus paid a price for us, and it was a hefty price that none of us are really willing to pay for anybody
else.
Yeah,
and it's such a subtle thing, but like when you have a net worth that's $10 million and you walk around thinking that, saying that, man, I am worth $10 million. Like it's subtle, but that changes how you view yourself. That changes... I think in the wrong way, how you view yourself. Yeah. And at the same time, if you have a negative $10 million net worth or negative $1 million, negative anything, that changes your perception of yourself, or there's an opportunity for it too. And I would just rather get that off of the table, make that not what this is about at all. This is what we are managing for God's glory.
Yeah.
That's what this number is.
Well, and if you're walking around putting your trust in a $10 million net worth, the way you're acting is not, it's prideful, really.
Yeah.
When really, we should all be in complete submission and humility, because our price has already been paid in full.
Yep.
And it was a really, really high price. So it puts us all on a level playing field. And it really brings us back to, how can I be responsible with what God has trusted me to deal with?
Yeah.
Rather than... I feel good about myself, or I feel bad about myself based off of whatever that number is. And if it goes up $1 million or down $1 million, you know,
over the course of a year. It's not yours. You're just a manager. And like, that is so much healthier of a position to be in, I think, biblically as a Christian, to be in this position that regardless of how many millions of dollars the Lord entrusts to you, that you can keep your grubby mitts off of it and know that it's His and you're simply a manager. So this might feel like semantics to some people, but I feel like this has been a significant thing that was a key part in us reaching this goal of being able to give away $1 million, which is why we're sharing it first on this list, because that reframe of being able to look at all the assets that we have in our accounts and everything else, and to constantly be reminded that, nope, that's not yours.
Yeah.
You're simply managing it. That has been so helpful for both of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just a constant reminder. So that's why we think this is so important. And
it's a number for information.
Yeah. And the beautiful thing about this too is it is a way to track your progress. Like that's fundamentally, that's why I started doing a net worth calculation from the beginning, because it's like we can take a snapshot of where we are financially right now and watch our progress forward, because it's one number that will inconclusively tell us whether we're going forwards or backwards financially.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, really powerful. And one thing that comes up a lot, people are like, well, I just am tracking how much debt I have because you know, I'm watching that number go down. And that's fine. I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with that. But this number, this AUM number, is actually far more encouraging, because with your debt number, it's like the only thing that's going to move the needle on that is when you pay off your debt. So if you build savings, or if you pay or add to your 401k or make other good financial decisions, it's not going to change that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this number, your AUM number, every good financial decision that you make moves that number forward. And so you get that momentum of seeing, oh man, we just made progress over the last month or over the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And that, the psychological impact of that is so important.
Yeah.
I think it's so underestimated.
Well, and I was talking to someone in one of our classes who was, you know, had just done this exercise and was pleasantly surprised by their AUM, but they were like, man, I'm just not doing good. And I was like, oh, really? I said, how did the exercise go? I thought they were alluding to them having a really low AUM. Yeah. And he said, no, I mean, actually my AUM is like pretty high. I wasn't expecting it to be that high. And it was like all he was looking at is how did it feel at the end of the month?
Yep.
And yep. When he got that holistic view, it was like, you're actually doing better than you think. This might be a tight season for what you have to spend.
That's so good.
But like, look at the whole picture. Like, if everything goes south, you still have this, there's other assets here that you can pull from if you have to.
That's a really good point, because it does, because so many of us will find ourselves in months where things are tight and it just feels like, it feels. Yeah. And that's just never a good way to measure your progress. Mm-hmm. Whereas this is a way to inconclusively get the real data. Because sometimes it feels like, great, money's coming in. Like if you're a real estate agent and you just had two deals go through and we've made so much money this month and it feels like we're rich.
Right.
But the reality is, well, the you're previous three or four months you haven't been. And so this is how you can actually get out of the feels like stuff and actually be knowing the truth about what's going on in your finances.
Yeah.
So like you were alluding to before, the first time we did this, we had a negative 13,000, I think it was 700 something dollars.
Yeah, it was close to negative 14.
There you went.
Right.
And
yeah. Well, you were just saying, you're like, I've been working for how many years and this is all have to show for it.
Well, at that point we were probably 22, 23. And I started working when I was like 13, mowing lawns and umpiring baseball games and stuff.
Yeah.
And so it felt
like, shocking.
How am I negative? I've been working for 10 years and I have not only zero to show for it, but a negative $13,000
of debt. Well, but the truth is that we had gotten ourselves into debt from credit cards, student loans, car loans. You know, and we had very little assets at that time. Yep. Like we didn't have a house, you know, stuff like that, where it's like you start to accumulate things over time. And, you know, that's where that's where the assets come in. But so, we were just basically like everything was in the debts column.
Big debts column.
That's it. Well, and like our investments, like our 401k, you know, all that stuff hadn't had time to like actually build much up in it because we were still relatively new at starting those.
Yeah.
So it makes sense when I think
it
back
does.
On it. But
yeah,
at
it
the
does.
Same time, it's really like, are you serious? You know, it can really give you a slap in the face.
Yeah, and
say.
We're going to get to how to do this and explain exactly how to do this in just a minute. It's really, really simple. If you've passed second grade math, you're going to be able to do
this.
Do it.
Yes.
But before we do, like, I want to touch on that just a second, because we were negative. I was kind of bummed out by that. But what I've come to find out, because we've worked with thousands of students now, it's actually really, really common to have a negative number at this point because of insane student loan debt, medical debt. Obviously, tons of people have lots of credit card debt and any other kind of debt. I mean, I know people with $70,000 car loans. So it's like there's no limit to things that you can be in debt on. And so there are a lot of people. We encounter a lot of students who have massive negative AUM. But the point that I want you to take away from this is it doesn't matter what your number is, whether it's positive $3 million or whether it's negative $1 million, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. This is your starting point. This is your, I am marking a line in the sand from which to measure. Mm-hmm. And what's beautiful about this is this gives you a way to look back and to see what the Lord has done.
Yeah.
And to see what he has brought you through in the journey that he's taken you. And one of the things that we always say in our True Financial Freedom class, like when I'm talking to our students about this, is if we actually are managers, if you read Matthew 25 and read the parable of the talents, if you believe that God has entrusted us and we are managers and that this stuff actually isn't ours, then I believe good managers know what they are responsible for.
Mm-hmm.
I challenge you to go find any manager in any sphere who doesn't understand what they are responsible for.
Right.
That you'd be like, yes, they're crushing it. A good manager knows what they are managing.
I was even just thinking of like someone working at a cash register.
Yeah.
And, you know, cash, we don't really use cash much anymore. But if I hand someone cash, what is the first thing they do? They don't trust that I gave them the right amount of money. They count it.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
No, I used
because
to do that.
They're in charge of they're managing their drawer.
Every night at the end when I worked at the grocery store, I was managing a cash register. Every night I have to go back and balance that thing down to the penny, count all the way down to the penny, know exactly what's there.
Right. And so if someone were to hand you a $20 bill and say it was a $100 bill,
yeah,
you're in trouble.
I'm on the hook.
You're on the hook for that money because it's looking like you stole the money.
I know.
So, but I mean, just even as simple as that is like, when you hand someone cash because you're paying them, they count what you gave them.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what this is, really.
Yeah.
Is it's just knowing what do I actually have? What's actually there?
Yeah.
And, you know, when we, can we tell them what happened like a year after we said?
Sure. Let's
what was great is that a year after we had first calculated this number, a year later, it was positive. Like $750, somewhere
we had
around
a
positive
there. Positive net worth positive by $700, y'all.
Which, you know, it's funny because, you know, if we're like getting pumped up about this is my net worth, I'm worth $750 now.
Well, a 25-year-old worth $746.
Right. But by paying attention to that original negative number, we moved forward $15,000 in 1 year.
Yeah.
And I think it was
on
really just because
minimum wage salaries. And
yes,
broke is broke.
Yeah, it wasn't like we had a bunch of money. It was just we saw what was going on, paid attention to it, and decided we're going to work on this.
Yeah.
And we made a huge jump in just a year
by making just a few less dumb decisions. Like we still
less
probably made
dumb.
Plenty
yes.
of dumb decisions, but. Just a few less than we would have the previous years.
Right.
You know, and started moving forward.
Well, and I'm convinced it was because we saw what that number was.
Yeah.
And we decided to take action.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? So I think hopefully we've convinced you by now to do this if you haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
So now let's get to how to actually do this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so, like I said, this is a second grade math problem. All you're doing is taking all of your assets. And if you don't know what an asset is, it's just something that you own that has value.
Right.
For the purposes of what we're doing. And there are people who... handle this slightly differently, but for the purposes of what we're doing, that's what we're saying. So an asset is anything you own that has value. So if you have a car, it probably has some amount of value.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you can go to KBB.com and find out what your car is actually worth. And when I say worth, the way that I approach this is how much can you sell it for?
Right.
You know, so if you have a car, you're like, oh man, this car, you think it's worth a lot. It doesn't matter. It's what will someone else buy it for from you, you know? And so you can go there and you can find out what someone else will buy it for from you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you own a home, it has some value. Someone will buy it for something. And the best way, simplest way, I should say, to do this is to just go to Zillow.com, look at the Zestimate in there. It is not going to be 100% accurate, but this is simpler than going to get an appraisal for your house. I want to make
right.
this. The goal is that you can do this exercise in 10 or 15 minutes. I don't want you to have to go get an appraisal to determine how much your house is
right,
worth.
Right, because that's just going to stall you.
Well, yeah.
If
and a
you
lot of
want
people
to do
won't
it, you
do
can.
It.
Right.
Yeah, you're welcome to do it. But the point is, how do we get a quick and dirty number here? That's what we're after. Look at your checking account, how much is in there. Look in your savings account, how much is in your 401k, in your investments, anything else you have. If you have a boat, you know, and again, like you can get down to the nitty gritty here and go in your sock drawer and how many pair of socks you have. Like, I don't recommend that because, again, I want this to be a 10, 15-minute exercise. And so we don't add anything to the list that is less than $500 in value.
Yeah.
So if we have something.
Like a camera.
Yeah, if we have like a brand new MacBook computer or something, we might put on the list. Or
right.
like I had some guitars that are probably worth enough to put on that list. Or
right.
Her wedding ring or whatever. Mm-hmm. So things like that where there's like a decent amount of value in them, it's
we
worth adding to the list.
Don't write down every book that we have and how much we could sell it for.
No. Again, $500 is our threshold. You're welcome to use whatever you want. But the point of it is really, I'd love for you to be able to do this in 10 to 15 minutes. That's what we're after. So the first column is you write down all the assets. And we're going to give you a free sheet to do this in just a couple minutes. But first, what you're doing is you're writing down all those assets. And you can do this in a simple spreadsheet or on paper, whatever. And you total all of that up. What is the total of all the things that you own that have some sort of monetary value if you sold them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next, we're going to do the same thing with our debts. Okay. So debt or anything that you owe, any money that you owe. Okay. So
a student loan.
So if you owe a student loan, if you have credit card debt, if you have a mortgage, so most likely if you have a house, On the one side, the assets column.
You could sell it for what number?
Yep.
Put it there.
On the other side, the debt part is the mortgage. How much do you owe the bank on it? Mm-hmm. Okay, so we need to get that number, write it down. And then if you have cars, again, your car, the value of it goes in the assets column because how much is it worth? How much could you sell? In the debts column, you might owe the bank some money on that car.
Yeah.
So how much do you owe them? That goes in the debt side. And so we just add all of those debts. If you have a loan from grandma, you put it in there. You know, whatever the thing is, anything you owe money on. Now, it's important to understand, this is a question that comes up a lot. Like, what about my rent payment? It's like, rent is not a debt. I mean, 99 times out of 100, weird circumstances we won't get into. But in general, rent is a payment that is owed. Just like, you know, your electric bill. It's not a debt.
Right.
It's just something you have to pay each month.
But, okay. I mean, you know, obviously we go way worst case scenario. You just move out and then you stop paying rent. You know, it's like it doesn't go on either column, really.
Yeah. So that isn't a factor, and that's not anything that needs to be included anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So once you have that number, your debt total, now you subtract the assets. You take the assets, that total, minus the debt total, and then that gives you your AUM, assets under management. Okay, it's really that simple. And again, if you want to do this, you can do this on a piece of paper. You can do this on a normal, just pull up a Google Docs spreadsheet and you start right in there.
Excel.
Yeah, we actually have a sheet that I will give you in just a second. But before we get to that, I want to quickly talk about where God is in this equation. Because this feels very mathematical, spreadsheety, in which it is.
I like that word.
Spreadsheety. Yeah. It's a good adjective. It's an adjective, right? And it does, but that doesn't make this not a spiritual exercise.
Yeah.
And again, like what I think is so powerful about this is you beginning your testimony. And so even if you're in a situation where you're scared to find out what this number is and you're like, I'm afraid, I'm nervous. I really don't want to look.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you have to look at the mountain to see what the mountain is, to be able to tell that mountain how big your God is.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you are afraid to look at that mountain, then that is honestly, it's a lack of faith. It's saying God isn't big enough to handle this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want to stir you up in, with this, to know that it doesn't matter how big, how bad this is. God is bigger.
Yeah.
And that's what I want you to remember. And that you are starting a testimony. You are drawing a line and saying, this is where I was, so that you can get to a point and look back and give God glory for how far he brought you and for what changed.
Yeah. And I mean, just to clarify, this is not a, you shouldn't feel scared to do this, because there is an element of that, especially depending on what has gone on in your background and the rest of your life regarding money. This can be a really scary step. What we want to do is just encourage you that God is still bigger.
Yep.
And that when you walk through these things with the Lord, it becomes a whole lot less scary.
Yeah. But I will say this, though. If you are scared by this, it's just a number. And so it doesn't really matter what it is. All it is, it's a way to measure. It's something to measure from. And so we talk about this a lot. Like, if you're on a weight loss journey or you go into Weight Watchers or whatever, like, there's no way you're going to start this program without stepping on the scale.
Yeah.
Like, you might be scared to step on the scale, but you just have to step on it to get that number, to know this is how I'm measuring.
Yeah.
Are we going forwards or backwards? Like, is all this work I'm doing on this diet, like, making any difference? Is all the exercise I'm doing, like, is it yielding any fruit at all?
Right.
You know, and that's what we're doing with this, you know? So, and again, back to this idea of us being managers, when we understand that, like, this is an act of worship.
Mm-hmm.
This is saying, God, this is what you've entrusted to me. I want to make the most of it. I want to be a good steward. I want to be a good manager. And that's why I'm doing this.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'll get off the soapbox about that. But now, if you want the free sheet, we have a free worksheet that we can get you. Just go to seedtime.com/AUM. And I think you just plug in your email there and then we will email that over to you. If you want to go deeper on this, you know, we talk more about this in our book, Simple Money, Rich Life, in Chapter 2, as well as Session 1 of our True Financial Freedom class.
Yep.
So you're welcome to kind of check out either of those as well if you want to go deeper on that. One last question that I think I want to address before we move on is how often should you check this?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're not going to do this just one time. Because again, if we go back to this weight loss analogy, you're not just going to step on the scale one time. Like you need to step on it again to see if you made some progress.
And you also don't need to do it every day.
Yeah. You don't need to. I mean, you're welcome to, like, I would say that, maybe every month, but that feels a little bit.
That feels almost a little obsessive.
Yeah. I would say, yeah. Like, we do this, like, for the last 15 years, we've been doing this every 6 to 12 months. So I don't normally go more than 12 months, and I don't normally do it less than 6 months. So what I would recommend doing right now, grabbing your phone and setting a reminder, say, remind me on my birthday at this time, you know. And so, like, the way that I would do this, because I'm just super nerdy here, Siri, at least on my phone, when I ask her to remind me something, I have to give it a specific time or it doesn't pop on my phone. So I would say, remind me January 1st at 9 a.m. to check my AUM.
Right.
And make that a annual or even every January 1st at 9 a.m. to check my AUM.
Right.
And that way you have a constant reminder coming up once a year on your phone to remind you to do it. Because that's the thing. I want you to keep checking this. But like I said, you should be able to do this in 10 to 15 minutes. If you have a whole lot of stuff, it might take a little bit longer. But the point is, you should be able to do it relatively quickly. And that is your homework for today.
Yep.
That's what I want to see you do. And I want to see you, feel free to send us a DM on Instagram at SeedTime.
Yeah, because we want to know what you're worth. Just kidding.
You don't even need to tell us your number, but you can just tell us.
Yeah, we don't need to know your number at all.
You can tell us how it went for you.
Yeah.
You know? Like, if you were surprised in either direction by it, if you have any questions about it, anything else like that.
Yeah.
But
and just how you're feeling about it in general. Because to me, it's like, sometimes you just need a little, you need someone to just tell you it's okay.
Yeah. Yep.
And we're happy to be those people.
We'll be your shoulder to cry on if need be.
Yes.
But again, like, I want to reiterate, it's just a number. It doesn't really matter. It's just a starting point.
Yep.
And we believe God's going to take you on a journey, and you're going to be able to look back and say, wow, look at what God did. Because that's where we are now.
Yeah.
Like, where we're just like, I'm so excited
it
was negative.
Right.
I'm excited that it was negative because it makes the testimony that much better
right.
and that much cooler.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's all for today. If you haven't left a review for the podcast, we would appreciate it. If you're enjoying this new series, please let us know.
Yep.
Again, send us a DM, send us an email, whatever. And have a wonderful day, and we'll see you soon.
Do you want some more Bob and Linda in your life? How about this?
Of course.
How would you like to hang out with us for 6 weeks and your small group or church?
And if you want to do that, just go to seedtime.com/true to find out more details. Or send us a message, DM on Instagram at seedtime, and let's chat.